ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Got him! Fromber strikes out Rooker to end the inning. Fromber had to work around a swim move at second base on a missed tag, and he strikes out the best hitter for the A's all year long.
What does that mean? The best hitter for the A's all season long. Does that mean he's hitting 200? Does that mean he's getting paid more than $15 an hour? A great question. But your Houston Astros swept the Oakland A's. Over the weekend, they've now won 7 in a row, 10 of 11 with the sweep. Jose Altuve was back on Friday. He had Brandon Belak with 9 strikeouts over 5 innings that day. Kyle Tucker, a home run and double. Saturday, they win 3-2. Nice outing from Hunter Brown, who had 9 strikeouts. Yordan with the go-ahead homer in the 8th. Jose Altuve's first hit back, a double. And then yesterday, you heard Framber Valdez on the mound right there. The full 9 innings, 7 strikeouts, 0 walks, 4 hits on 104 pitches. Pitch number 100, he hit 97 on the gun. And again, it's the A's. They're just a sad, sad franchise at this point in time. But a nice weekend for your Houston Astros. And Jose Altuve, how about that? Third all-time, ties Jose Cruz for the most... third most in franchise history when it comes to hits. What's going on, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, May 22nd of 2023. We've got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Sean, we got to watch Fast and Furious 10 on Friday after the show. It was a team bonding experience. And, I mean, there's a part of me that wanted to lead talking about that movie, Sean, because it was everything you want out of a Fast and Furious movie. Everything you could possibly want.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been as fulfilled in my life or walking out of a movie theater. Definitely walking out of a movie theater, maybe my entire life, than walking out of that movie theater after Fast X. Us, you, me, my friend Uche, and the 4 other people in the movie theater at 2:30.
We basically acted like that was our living room.
Yes.
We were talking very loudly, laughing very hard, cheering very loudly, all of the major moments in this movie. And we're not going to spoil anything for you. But if you guys get Fast and Furious the way that we do, you're going to leave this movie with a pants tent.
Yes. Buzzing. You'll float out of the movie.
You really will. It was the funniest ending to a movie possible, to the point where I tweeted something because I was a little bit upset. And then I deleted it because...
it happened.
It happened.
yes. Just think about that. Paul was upset about something in the movie theater.
I kept on bitching to you about it all movie long. I was like, oh, then, man. And then it happens.
And then it happens. And then Paul gets what he wants. So
it was amazing.
You'll get what you want.
I think Astros fans are not getting what they want right now, though. Even with the 7 straight wins and 10 of 11. And this is how we know we are back. We are back to being an elitist, Karen franchise of fans. Because there are a lot of people out there who, much like a Karen or whatever the male version of a Karen is, Carl, I don't know, you maybe send back the steak that you've had cooked at the restaurant because it's not quite pink enough. You might be that person. Maybe you're just picky as a whole. I gotta say, it's very hilarious to me to see Astros fans getting mad while this team continues to win for understandable reasons. And generally, all of that ire is directed at Dusty Baker. So, the first thing that happened this weekend that drove a lot of people crazy was that Jose Abreu, first baseman for your Houston Astros, was in the cleanup spot every single day this weekend. Friday, cleanup. Saturday, cleanup. Sunday, cleanup. For what it's worth, he has one home run in his last 100 games. Albert Pujols, who is not playing baseball anymore, has had six home runs since Jose Abreu hit his last home run. And he grounded into an inning-ending double play with the bases loaded yesterday. So naturally, people are losing their mind about Abreu continuing to play. Dusty Baker was asked about it, transcribed via Brian McTaggart of MLB.com. For the crowd who always wants the media to ask Dusty Baker about sticking with Abreu while he's struggling, Baker said, "We've got to get Abreu going. And the only way to get going is to play. This guy, 4 years, has played almost every day. We've just got to get him going." And you know what? I agree. I actually agree. I know some people are mad about it. And yeah, it was annoying on Sunday seeing Abreu in the cleanup spot grounding into that double play. And at least he got a couple of walks over the course of the weekend. But the contact numbers, especially when it comes to the power analytics with that contact, it's not great. It's not great. But you got to keep on plugging. You got to keep giving him chances. You got to get him out of this slump. I suppose moving him back in the lineup wouldn't hurt the Astros. I suppose. But it's funny. They've won 7 in a row. They've won 10 of 11. And I think the majority of the Astros fan base is just pissed off at Jose Abreu after this weekend. And I know they just swept the A's. But my God, sometimes you guys are so ungrateful. I love it about you. I think it's good. It's a good quality to have. You always want more. But, oh man, some of the ire directed at Dusty Baker for this. Haven't we given Dusty Baker lineup immunity? Everyone's seen Lethal Weapon 2. It's the best Lethal Weapon movie. It's Mel Gibson. It's Danny Glover. It's Merton Riggs. And they're going up against the South Africans, who in the 80s were like the cool villain. They were the it villain, right? Like Russia, kind of getting boring. South Africa, apartheid. Hey, let's make them the center of all of the hate in this movie. You need to have a group of people that everyone thinks are essentially Nazis. You even had a guy who was essentially the right-hand henchman of the South Africans who looked a little bit like Hitler, minus the mustache. So in that movie, at the very end, there's a key moment. And the South African diplomat, he flashes a badge, and he says something that makes it seem like he can get away with whatever he wants.
Diplomatic immunity.
Just been revoked.
Everybody in the Astros fan base who is complaining about that, you are Murtaugh. You're Murtaugh. And look, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but should we be getting as mad at Dusty Baker as we are? And there are other things too. It's not just Jose Abreu. Did you know that Mauricio Dubon has the 9th best batting average in all of baseball? Hey, Sean, can you tell me about Mauricio Dubon's at-bats over the weekend?
He had hits?
He had no at-bats because he didn't play on Friday, and he didn't play on Saturday, and he didn't play on Sunday.
What did he get, Memorial Day weekend? Like the week before? What gives?
I'm not going to lie. That one, I was like, wait, what? He didn't play once? And I don't know. Maybe going to that bases loaded situation that you had in the seventh inning with one out. Maybe you put Mauricio Dubon in. But hey.
Hey, Dusty, why didn't you play Mauricio Dubon?
Diplomatic immunity.
But he has it. He did such a good job in the postseason. He did a good job. I know. I get it. It doesn't make any sense. But hey, like they're winning, right? Are we all supposed to be the killer bees, like getting pissed off about the lineup? I think it's a fun bit that Jeremy Branham does where he posts online, like, what did Dusty do wrong with the lineup? But hey, Mauricio Dubon, he needed some load management days. He's had a lot of them over the course of his career, but he needed a couple more. He's gained weight. He's heavier. It's hard to move around when you got that extra muscle mass. Strain on the ligaments. Strain on the joints. Also, people are not thrilled that Martín Maldonado continues to catch. He caught all weekend, no Yonier Diaz, and guess what? He had a hit in all three games. Also interesting, he's hitting .268 over the course of the past month, but people are mad that he's playing too. I saw some people calling a fatty boom batty online. That's not nice, because they want Yonier Diaz to get in there. And I guess Dusty had this to say about the reason that Maldonado's playing, Diaz isn't.
Diplomatic immunity.
He said that. Right. He was asked why Diaz wasn't playing, why Martín Maldonado was. He just dropped the badge like the bad guy in Lethal Weapon 2. It was incredible. He said this, with the schedule the way it is and how we're playing and how we're winning, I feel Maldi has a direct correlation between us winning and Maldi catching. And look, while he said this, the Astros were 17-15 with Maldi and 7-3 with Yadier Diaz. But it doesn't matter, guys. Dusty Baker has diplomatic immunity. Why do you guys want to get so mad at Dusty? Why? I mean, is it going to hurt them now? It's not. It's not. I saw some people saying this is going to affect the Astros when it comes to where they are in the AL standings. They've won 10 of 11. What are you talking about? There might come a point where this does come to bite them in the tuchus. And okay, they won these games. Do not ignore in victory what you would beat up in defeat. I get all of that. But I love Astros fans getting all pissy at Dusty Baker this weekend for somewhat valid reasons when they still were able to get the sweep. Yes, over a dumpster fire minor league baseball team. It's going to be a little bit more difficult starting tonight when they take on the NL Central leading Milwaukee Brewers. They're not great. They're like 25-21. But still, this is going to be a little bit more of a test. Can we, at the very least, though, respect Dusty Baker's diplomatic immunity? Is it that hard to do? It's May. If this is happening in October, okay. Okay, but, I mean, we've been here before. I'm actually in agreement with Dusty in that they have to get Jose Abreu going. It's early in the year. We're not at a point yet where you're going to bench Abreu, obviously. And I can understand the argument for moving him back in the lineup. It makes sense, no doubt. But, I don't know. There's a psychology side of things in baseball, a psychiatric side of things. Some of these guys take it very personally when they get moved down in the lineup. They're trying to show as much faith in Abreu so that he'll believe in himself. And Dusty Baker has diplomatic immunity. I'm sorry that you can't handle it, but they're winning. Like, you guys are spoiled. It's okay. I kind of like that about you, but admit it and settle down. Those issues did not hurt them this weekend. And they've not hurt them for the last couple of weeks either. They've won 10 of 11. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. You might have heard me lose my mind on Friday when I found out about the latest James Harden returning to Houston report. There were a couple of details in that report that we missed. And remember how I said it would be a win-win scenario for the Rockets no matter what happened in the Eastern Conference semifinals between Boston and Philadelphia? That might not be the case anymore because the other guy that we were looking at with hungry eyes, it's been a rough couple of days for him. Paul Galacho, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Some thoughts on Abreu on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It's not that he's playing. It's the fact that he's batting fourth still, said one texter. You gotta give him confidence. Haven't you ever watched The Sound of Music? There's a whole song about it. I have confidence in sunshine. You have to have confidence in Jose Abreu because that's the only way he is going to break through this slump. Some other comments. This is from the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Perpinche, Jose Abreu's nickname is Mal Tiempo, which stands for bad time. He's living up to it. On top of that, he couldn't hit a pinata to save his life. Well, I think he could hit the pinata. He just wouldn't hit it hard. That's the problem with Abreu. It's that he's not crushing anything, and you're kind of upset about the fact that
over his last 100 games, he has one home run. And over that same stretch, Albert Pujols, who no longer plays baseball, has six. Not ideal. Not ideal. There's another comment. This is from the text line. Is Dusty racist? That's not why we're making the comparison to the South African diplomat in Lethal Weapon 2. We're doing it because I think we believe that Dusty Baker has earned lineup immunity. Even if we have questions, we can't ask the questions. They just won the World Series. Did he not do a pretty good job with the lineup in the playoffs? I thought he did. Did he not do a pretty good job with the bullpen in the playoffs? He definitely did. He's got immunity right now. We can come back and reevaluate in October, but none of us are allowed to question any of Dusty Baker's lineups ever. Even if Mauricio Dubon was benched for all three games despite having the ninth best batting average in baseball, even if on top of that, the catching splits, the Astros are a much better team when Yunier Diaz is behind the plate, and even if Jose Abreu in the cleanup spot frustrates you, doesn't matter. Lineup immunity.
Okay? Diplomatic immunity.
Right, and you can't revoke it unless you would want to commit murder upon one of Houston's own sons. Like, Dusty Baker is ours now. He is Houston's, okay? And how dare you question him? How dare you? It's working. They've won 7 in a row. They won 10 of 11. My God. Oh, the lineup. Anyway, hey, guys, we did not have a happy time on Friday's show when we saw that report from the Philadelphia Inquirer about James Harden and that return to Houston seeming imminent. In that report, there was a line that we missed. Harden is one of the Rockets' all-time best players. He won the 2018 MVP award and numerous other accolades during his 9 seasons as a Rocket. Fans are past being upset with him for forcing a trade to Brooklyn on January 13th of 2021. He's still appreciated in the city. Did you run a poll, Mr. Philadelphia Inquirer guy? Is that actually the case? Fans are past being upset with him? I mean, I don't even know if fans are as upset with him about him forcing his way out as they are about every single one of his playoff no-shows. Like, that's what we all disliked. And then that he had the balls to ask out as if it wasn't his fault. It was the organization's fault that all of those moments happened.
He also, like, always had the Harden, you know, the Harden army, so to speak.
That's true.
The Stan army. And I don't think that he lost them and then gained them back. I think they just went with them to Brooklyn, and they went with them to Philadelphia, and they'll come back to him in Houston. I don't feel like anyone liked James Harden when he was on the Rockets in 2020, and then stopped liking him when he demanded the trade, that now likes him again.
Right.
I don't think that shift has happened.
There's not an actual demand for a return of James Harden. The team would be more watchable. I think we all have to agree on that, because of how bad they were last year. But that's literally it.
It's shrugging acceptance.
At best.
At best, yes.
Or it's complete opposition, like you got from your boy. There were some other reports about Harden that we did not touch on Friday, because this came to light after our show was done, 10 to noon here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We have a show of podcasts, by the way. Subscribe, rate, and review. James Harden was the driving force behind the Doc Rivers firing, per Jake L. Fisher, an NBA reporter. And we saw this from Brian Windhorst, and I don't even know what the bleep this means. Quote, there is an appetite around the NBA for James Harden landing a 4-year contract worth more than $200 million. What does that mean? There is an appetite for Harden getting $200 million over 4 years? Why? Who has this appetite? Does the entire NBA want to see this happen? They're hungry for this to happen because it would be kind of funny. I'm trying to understand that report. That's from Windy. That's from a legitimate NBA reporter who doesn't throw speculation out. There is an appetite for Harden to get a 4-year, $200 million contract?
I think that's how I read it, that there are 28 teams that are hoping that James Harden gets a 4-year, $20 million contract. They're hoping one of the other two give it to him. They're hoping, everyone's like, yeah, I hope Philly gives them the 4-year $200 million. I hope Houston gives them the 4-year $200 million. We don't know if Philly and Houston want to give him that.
Exactly.
But everyone in the league's like, yeah, pay him. Pay him.
Come on, man. Let's do it.
That's just one team you can just take off the board.
Oof. It does feel like it's just going to happen. Anyway, so while I'm depressed about basketball, I may as well talk about my beloved Boston Celtics, who have literally been pooping their pants like uncontrollably for 3 days in a row now. You might have seen on Friday night that there was a moment where it looked like they had everything in control, and then Grant Williams, dummy that he is, decided to bark at Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler proceeded to steal their soul, give him a 2-0 series lead, going back to Miami. And then I don't know how many people watched the Celtics Heat game. The only thing I'm thankful about is that like I could tell late in the second quarter, I'm like, okay, I can just watch HBO tonight. I don't even have to bother with the last two quarters of this game. We mentioned in the Eastern Conference semifinals that, hey, if things don't go the Celtics way, that maybe there's a chance Jaylen Brown would ask out of Boston. He has, at times this season, seemed frustrated with the fans there. And I don't think he's the biggest fan of Joe Mazzulla, the head coach who famously has a jiu-jitsu trainer, who sleeps with duct tape over his mouth, and who watches the town 4 times a week. Probably not the right cue to take from the town to impersonate the banks that were getting robbed, which is what the Celtics have done the last two games. But hey, everyone has their own interpretation of what to take out of the town, especially if you're saying like, yeah, this is all about Boston. Well, I guess you're big banks in Boston. Jaylen Brown, after the game, seemed rather defeated. They're down 3-0 and said that this was just embarrassing.
I don't even know where to start. It's obvious letdown. I feel like we let our fan base organization down. We let ourselves down. And it was collective. We can point fingers. But in reality, it was just embarrassing.
Yeah, it was, Jaylen. And Jaylen played like crap in both of those games. And that's what bothers me the most about this, is because as someone who watches the Celtics a lot, they're my favorite basketball team. Generally, when the team struggles, it's because of Jason Tatum's inconsistency. Game 2 and Game 3 of this series, Jaylen Brown was doo-doo. Just absolutely terrible. 6-for-17 from the field yesterday, 0-for-7 from outside, 12 points. Friday, 7-for-23 from the field, 1-for-7 from outside, just 16 points. He stunk in those two games. Like, he's been absolutely bad. And there's a reason that the Miami Heat have a 3-0 lead on this one seed in the Eastern Conference Finals. But you watched the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and you felt like Miami should have won that series. I know I did. Watching Game 7, I didn't enjoy Game 7 at all. Like, Miami nearly stole it from Boston with another almost epic meltdown down the stretch. And yeah, I suppose you could point to the coaching, which it does seem like some are doing. This was Jaylen Brown after the game being asked about Joe Mazzulla.
Jaylen, with us, Joe kind of put the loss on himself. He said he didn't have you guys ready to play. What's your response to hearing that?
I think it's a collective effort.
Not an endorsement. Not an endorsement right there.
He barely even finished saying the word effort. That's how little he was like, that's how much he wanted to stop talking before he goes, yep, it's on Mazzulla.
And there's been a couple of moments like that from Brown, who does seem like he wants out, just based off of what you've heard from him at the podium. On Friday, he was asked about a moment where Grant Williams decided to headbutt Jimmy Butler after hitting a three. Butler came back the other way, had a layup of his own, and here is the Celtics guard talking about Grant Williams deciding to poke the bear.
Did Grant Williams make a mistake poking the bear with Jimmy Butler?
Next question.
I mean, he hates it. He hates it there right now. So I think Brown wanting out is becoming more and more of a possibility. I do think that he liked Ime Udoka. And yeah, you'd have to give up some assets to get a Jaylen Brown. I still would rather have Jaylen Brown than see the Rockets do whatever they're going to do with that number four pick. I don't know, though, what it's going to take to get Jaylen Brown. Probably means you got to trade like a Jalen Green and that pick or something like that. It's going to be expensive. He's, you know, third team All NBA this past year. He's a damn good player. I think he was second team All NBA, actually. Like, he's a damn good player. I think he's one of the top 15, but he's been playing bad in these playoffs. And, you know, whether it's James Harden or it's Jaylen Brown, hasn't looked good. Has not looked good. Those might be your two alternatives for the Rockets this offseason. So there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One of my favorite players, probably a controversial opinion for one of my favorite players in Houston sports over the last couple of years, is also thinking about a return. You'll hear him talk about that next in the 10-minute drill. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We will talk about what's going on at the station and a big change this morning at 10:45. First, though, interesting news about a potential reunion between a Houston sports team and one of the most talented players that we've ever seen play college football. Did you guys see Mark Berman's interview with Jadeveon Clowney over the weekend, former number one pick of the Houston Texans in 2014? Berman asked Clowney, hey, would you be open to playing for the Texans again? Here's what Clowney had to say.
It'd be nice to be here. I mean, all my family here, friends here, the guys I work out with can help me take care of my body a lot better being right up under them. That's what I was thinking about, something like that. But you never know. You never know what happened. You never know what's in front of me. I see they got there. They're putting the pieces together. I'm a big fan of a new head coach. You know, they got some guys up front I think can go. Malik. And they just got the rookie this year. It's to be a big thing to see what they do this year. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, especially some here. Hold on, man. We'll see what happens.
Rare Candy on twitch.tv/ESPN975 asks, what is the fascination with re-signing Houston athletes who failed for us? Talks about James Harden, who we discussed in the last segment. He brings up Jadeveon Clowney. Unpopular opinion. Jadeveon Clowney maybe didn't live up to the billing that comes with being the number one overall pick in that 2014 NFL draft. But Clowney was a damn good, at times great player. One of the best run defenders that we've seen in the NFL over, I would say, the past decade. And if you saw the guy line up on the interior of the defensive line and the amount of power that he was able to blow back offensive linemen, you can't say that the guy's a bust, which I know is a popular thing to do here in Houston. His first season, the Texans messed that up by having him play on that pallet grass field. His foot gets stuck in the field. His knee was busted his first 2 years. He was dealing with that knee injury. His third and fourth year, he played well here. But the Texans thought to themselves, we're not going to give him a long-term contract, much like we're not going to give the long-term contract to Mario Williams. He goes to the Bills. They trade him to Seattle. I watched him up in Seattle. The sack production wasn't there, but the actual impact on a game was there. And what I've always found funny is, if you hate the Philadelphia Eagles, you should love Jadeveon Clowney, because Clowney used to just abuse Eagles quarterbacks. You might have remembered back in the 2018 season, I think it was either a Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve game between the Texans and Eagles, and Clowney absolutely drilled Foles after play. It was definitely a bit of a cheap shot. So my mom, who was an Eagles fan, hated Jadeveon Clowney for a while. So when I was doing radio in Seattle with the Seahawks about to play the Eagles in a game where Jadeveon Clowney busted an Eagles quarterback, and then he would do it a little bit later in that year, I asked my mom for her thoughts on Jadeveon Clowney, because she thinks he's a meanie pants. This is what my mom had to say.
What did you think about the play where Jadeveon Clowney hit Carson Wentz from behind?
Jadeveon, oh my goodness, you were naughty. You were just a naughty boy. You know, after McDougal knocked him down, didn't quite have to bang your helmet into his helmet. I do like Jadavian's play.
Yeah.
He was effective. I don't know whether you want to assassinate the other quarterback, but there you go.
Football's a violent game, though, Mom, as I've said before.
It is. It is, Paul. You're lucky I let you play it. But I've come to my clown. I feel like he's my bad son. You know? Like, he's bad, he's naughty, but I do think he's effective. He knows he crossed the line. I'd like to meet his mother. I'd like to meet his mom. She would keep because we like our boys to be nice and good and kind.
So that's my mom. After the Seahawks again played the Eagles in the playoffs, my co-host in Seattle decided to tell Jadeveon Clowney about his co-host's mother, who was an Eagles fan and thought that Clowney was mean. And Clowney proceeded to troll my mom.
I'm sorry to send your guys home today. How you doing, Kitchen? It's your boy JD Clowney here. I just come to say, bye, Eagles, bye. Not fly, Eagles, fly.
No, I'm joking.
Kitsy was a little worried or upset at last year's hit on Nick Foles.
Oh, she going to hate me this year, probably. I'm sorry, Kitsy, but I'm just playing a game. I had no intentions to hurt him.
Any parting words for Kitsy?
Any parting words? Have fun in offseason, Kitsy. I'll see you second round.
So awesome. So I love Clowney because of that moment right there. I think he's goofy. I do wonder how the Texans would view him returning. I think that Nick Caserio and the relationship that I'm assuming some sort of relationship he had with Bill O'Brien would perhaps give pause to bringing him back in. I know there's this idea of swarm and you want to have guys who are busting their ass at all times. And there have been moments where Clowney's effort in practice has been called out. I would say Clowney's effort in games should never be called out. Anyone who's doing that is being disingenuous. So I'd point to the afternoon show at the flagship station on that front. I would love to see Clowney back here. The defensive line needs all the help it can get, and I don't think you're going to have to pay him that much to get him out there. I guess the real question is, what kind of effort would you expect from him if the Texans brought him back? But that moment where he's roasting my mom for being an Eagles fan is all time. The best part, my co-host Danny in Seattle told me that Sal Palantonio was standing right by. Sal Palantonio was like a pissed off Eagles fan masquerading as an ESPN reporter, and he was fuming while that moment happened. And I loved it. So I would love to see Jadeveon Clowney back here. It's kind of strange that for the majority of my career, I have been where Jadeveon Clowney is and generally caping for him. He wasn't a bust. You can't say he was a bust. Did he deliver as the number one overall pick? No, Mario Williams didn't really either. But the guy's been a productive NFL player. He just had the unfortunate burden on his shoulders of trying to live up to being the number one overall pick. But no team has clearly viewed him as a franchise changer. No team's given him that long-term contract after he was taken first overall. But I like him. I like Clowney. I hope they bring him back. That'll be fun.
It really is funny that, you know, Harden, Clowney, Hopkins, like all these guys from 2018, they're just going to be right back.
It's nuts.
Or at least there's the opportunity for all. Like, it's not crazy that any of those three are just going to be back in the city of Houston.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Sean, because I think what's really interesting to note with DeAndre Hopkins is there was talk, hey, he might get traded. There's no market for him. So I'm wondering if the Cardinals maybe release him and then some team is willing to trade like a sixth or a seventh round pick or something like that over the coming weeks. But if Hopkins gets released, the Texans should make a phone call too. And I get it. Like, there might be some hurt feelings, but Hopkins, I think his issues were all with Bill O'Brien and probably with Jack Easterby. Those guys are gone. I would not have a problem with making that phone call. Now, Hopkins is probably going to ask for a lot of money. I think that's the difference between him and Clowney. Clowney, I think, is just looking for work but doesn't want to be a part of the offseason program.
Yeah. So, Clowney / Hopkins to the Texans, Harden to the Rockets.
Not that one.
Can we get like Marwin Gonzalez to the Astros?
Oh, I wouldn't mind that. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that. I mean, shoot, I want somebody who's
can we get like George Springer? Like, why are none of these guys like?
Can Jeff Bagwell awesome? Still play? Because at first base, I mean, there's some people that would like to see anyone other than Jose Abreu. He's in the organization.
You give okay. Paul, you get this is impromptu hypothetical.
Impromptu hypothetical.
You give Jose Abreu 162, like a full healthy season. Mm-hmm. How many home runs do you think he hits versus Jeff Bagwell right now? Present day Jeff Bagwell, 50-something year old Jeff Bagwell. You give him a full 160, just wave a magic wand. He's healthy for 162 games of baseball. Again, while he's in his 50s. Who do you think hits more home runs?
I think Bagwell's going to be hitting like 050, but I think Bagwell hits more home runs.
Higher slugging?
I think, it's all slugging. It's just like he crushes a couple of yabos. But yeah. I mean, look, the numbers, the power numbers with Abreu are gone. They are actually gone.
You said Albert Pujols has hit six more home runs since the last time Jose. How many has Jeff Bagwell hit since the last time?
Luckily,
15.
Luckily, we're not quite there.
Oh, okay.
Luckily, we're not quite there. But literally, all he would have to do is hit one. Like that's how bad it is. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty stunned this morning, waking up, turning on my radio, to hear the dramatic change at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I don't think it sets a great precedent. So, I mean, I know people are generally here to hear me goofing off and being sarcastic, but we got to talk about what happened to the bench thanks to The Wheelhouse next. We got to. Paul Gallant Show.
This is The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Ellie out of the corner for three, hit it! Mario Ellie with a three with 7.1 seconds to play. Timeout, Phoenix. Mario Ellie, is that the stake through the heart for a second straight season by the Houston Rockets?
So I saw Mario Ellie on Twitter on Saturday posted 28 years ago. And I thought to myself, holy Christ, that is how long ago the kiss of death was. May 20th of 1995, Rockets, Suns, Game 7. And the Rockets had been down 3-1 in that series before they ice it right there. Okay, so how old is Mario Ellie? We're talking about Houston returns. 59 years old. We saw Mario in studio this past week. Would you take 59-year-old Mario Ellie back on this Rockets team? I'm not going to lie. Yes, I would. I would.
Just
I wouldn't mind him
up in the corner.
Listen, if Udonis Haslam is about to win his fourth NBA championship or whatever the hell, like you may as well give Mario at age 59 a chance.
Yeah, okay. just give. I mean, because spacing, you know, it's so big in today's NBA.
Yeah.
You got to guard him out by the 3-point line. Until the day he dies, you're going to have to guard Mario Ellie out by the 3-point line.
This has sort of turned into, hey, that guy, radio here.
Sam Cassell,
bring him back. Not as the head coach.
Steady hand as a point guard.
Right, as a player. Yeah, exactly. Carmelo Anthony retired. I think it's time to give Carmelo Anthony a phone call after he announced his retirement and say, hey, Rockets?
Much like Hopkins' main beef was with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Melo's was with Daryl Morey and with Mike D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys aren't here.
They're not here anymore. They're not here. Text, bring back Carlos Correa. No one said bring back Verlander. Verlander's, it's not good. It's not looking good. I don't know if the World Series was where it all fell apart or that calf strain that he had towards the end of the year, but like, my God.
We need some more distance to make the heart grow fonder with Verlander.
J.J. Watt, you know, he's a soccer owner now, although he calls soccer football, which is offensive to me. Okay. Look, this is a tough conversation to have. Someone texted in. I did tease it going into this segment. Thank you for addressing this. I tuned in at 7:10 this morning expecting John and Lance, but I get Dell and some guy. What's the deal? Well, you heard the imaging. The bench is over. The bench is done. And it's really making me a little bit nervous because we've had some show-on-show violence over the last week. And I didn't think that as called by some on the Twitch, I would never call them this, but as called by some on the Twitch, the Weasel House, I guess, does have a lot of clout in the building. And I get it. I mean, it's a six-person show, right? You have Brad Kellner. You have Brad Kellner's assault on the English language. You have Cody's two seats. You have Jets fan Jake Asman and Yankees fan Jake Asman. Six-person show. And they hold a lot of sway in the building. So they weren't thrilled with John coming back, defending his job, man of the people, after, you know, Jake just flippantly suggested with Pat McAfee gone, like, hey, let's get rid of John here. He's trying to be a company man for ESPN. Snitches get stitches, is what I always say. But hey, it's fine, you know, to each their own. So yeah, the bench is over. Sorry. It's just done. I thought it was gonna be a suspension. But like from what I know, and there's not a lot of communication in this building, but from what I understand, the bench is over. So now Dell's going to be the lead, and they're going to try to figure out who the co-host is. So if you want a chance to apply to be Dell's co-host, it's just you got to tweet at him. And make sure that you send a video with that tweet to Dell and that you ask for it with a nice British accent. You have to do that. That's the only way. Dell wanted me to tell you guys that. But so, I mean, it wraps up a week of show-on-show violence. You know, it started off with me having a guest spot on the Wheelhouse. And I was listening to them getting ready for my Hypothetical Tuesday segment. And I fell asleep listening to Brad try to pronounce words. And so I missed the interview. And then it progress to, you know, Pat McAfee gets the money from ESPN and Jake suggested clipping John to cut costs. John destroyed Jake. Jake called HR&P. HR&P does work. I think that's what the one thing that we've learned from this week is that HR&P, at the very least, like, they're reliable, but like my job security, I don't know. Cody said the Wheelhouse are the big boys of 97.5. I'm not going to make the joke that would have been really easy to make right there. The Killer Bees eulogized Jake. I don't think Joel was enthused with being, you know, not being one of the big boys, and I wouldn't be either. I didn't know that that happened because, again, I'm like kind of behind on everything because I generally listen to NPR instead in the afternoons instead. You know, I like to listen to like Muffin Talk with Sturgill Guantanamo and Horatio Alfonso. It's a great podcast. They talk about the muffins they make. Blueberry, apple cinnamon, banana nut. And they like speak, and it's like a really quiet, dulcet tone. Sometimes Martha Stewart stops by. It's a great show. Jake and Cody said I don't make enough money to make a dent if they moved on from me. I don't want to be like salary guy, but I will say, and this is actually serious, my last contract negotiations, I said, what are they making? I want more. And Mr. Gao and Todd and everybody, they were like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, yeah. So I'm doing a two-hour show and making more than them, which is funny to me, but okay, maybe not to them. The bench was fired because Jake was upset. So I know a lot of Twitchers have been banned because of Jake too. So I'm just saying, direct your complaints to Jake Asman. He has all the power here. I don't know. I might get fired for taking everybody behind the kimono here. But yeah, bench, it was a great run, but it wasn't enough to survive the clout of YouTube sensation Jake Asman and his feelings. So there you go. All hail the Weasel House. I mean, Wheelhouse, and it's okay. My show will continue for now, unless, I don't know, actually. Oh, damn. All right, look, management. We got a new program director. Okay. I got to go to break. Paul Gallant Show.